Welcome back, fam. Another episode of Remember with Sophia. A podcast where a bunch of mouth sounds may or may not resonate or spark a remembrance within. And if it does, then hip hip hooray. Remember when I used to do the breath thing? If you want to take a deep breath, do it now. Oh gosh, just let it all go. How is everyone doing? How are you feeling in this moment? What is present with you? And is that thought, feeling, story, sensation welcome? Is it allowed to be there? Can you simply let it be? If there's a judgment upon it, can you let that be too? Can you allow everything that's being experienced in this moment to be there? To welcome it and to observe it? Just observe. Shift to the one that is simply watching the show. There is a space between the experience and the one witnessing the experience. Sensation can feel so consuming, like it's every part of one's being, but if one can practice observing sensation, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, it's all mental, but then space can begin to be created between the sensation and the one we truly are. Can you imagine if we were our sensations? What a roller coaster ride that would be! What a trip! All of our energy and bandwidth and mindset would be used to go to that sensation, how to heal the sensation, how to change it, what caused it, what created it, how can I orchestrate my future moment so I don't feel that again or so I do feel that again. It's like, wow. Oh wait, we do think we are the sensation, so we do take ourselves on that ride consistently, all the time, until we don't. Till one pauses and says, oh shit, I forgot. I am not these sensations or these stories or even this human being. And simply allow it to be. Okay, I'm going to welcome this sensation. I'm going to welcome this story, this fear, this, even the opposite of fear. The full spectrum range. I'm going to allow it. I'm going to welcome it. And I'm going to shift to just watching it. There's a space within. See if you can locate it now. I uploaded a practice to my Patreon called Pillar of Peace Within, and it guides us to locating this space. So if you want that practice, email me hometounion@gmail.com and I'll send it to you. Because once we learn how to come into that still presence within, that's our space that we shift to when observing. There's a still, peaceful pillar always within. And when one is so caught up in identifying with the moment, the sensations, the stories, the happenings, the quote-unquote out there, and even out there as in the body, then pausing, exhaling, coming back to that space within and remembering the truth. Letting go of what's being grasped onto. And then allowing perfection to upwell. That it's all perfect. But if there's one within that is judging, resisting, labeling, running, that will be a challenging belief to anchor in. So thankfully, we don't have to try to get ourselves to believe the perfection of the now. We just have to let go of any beliefs or thoughts about it at all. Shifting to that pillar within. That peaceful, deep, relaxed state of being, which is really who we are. I feel it in this moment, and I am just so grateful for the remembrance of it, because do I forget? I am forgetting less and less, though. And when I do forget, I am a little bit quicker to bring myself back. Sometimes. Sometimes. I always forget things I've talked about on previous podcasts, and now that I've deactivated like 12 episodes, I really forget what is out there and what isn't. So if I repeat myself, then I guess it's just something that really wants to be heard. But I think it's so fascinating, all of these studies done on schizophrenia, how one person can have intense menstrual cycles, need to wear trifocals for glasses, have allergies, be allergic to all these different foods, and even have an accent. And then when the brain shifts and a different personality is identified with, or a different networking system within is identified with, then that all shifts. That same person suddenly has no allergies, no menstrual symptoms, doesn't need glasses. I mean, and doesn't have an accent. It is a freaking trip. If you want to go down that rabbit hole, there are a lot of fascinating, mind-blowing studies of how one being is even dying of cancer. And then when a different networking system within is identified with, that is gone. We all have these different operating systems. I can tell you, for me, when I'm identified with one, the longer I'm identified with it, the symptoms that come back are intense. IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. I used to have ulcerative colitis all the time, stomach ulcers. I used to, even in the autoimmune disease, I think I've spoken on it here, that I've healed, where I was allergic to cold. Even now, if I get deep in the ego for a few days, or deep into the operating system of separation and fear-based operating, then it comes back. It comes back in that moment. But the very next second, the very next moment, when I finally shift back out of it, it's just completely gone. Fascinating. It's all in the mind. And what are we identifying with? What networking system are we identified with now? I know when I'm identified with the truth of my being, I am in love with the moment. I am surrendered. I am in joy. I am an extension of love. And if anything else arises within, it's all welcome. I think people think that, or I'll just use I language, because this is really like my platform for my own self-processing. I used to believe back in the day that if one was in the operating system of pure love or alignment with God or highest alignment, then none of those other frequencies would come in. But really what it is you're identified with an operating system. And when things arise, like fear or contraction or anything of the other operating system, the operating system of separation, then it is to be welcomed. So when I am in unconditional love, in my heart, in that joy, it's all welcome. I do not run away from any of it. I do not shy away from any of it. And I'm less likely to take the bait. Taking the bait means, say, I don't know, what story can I use? Say the neighbor's dog is just staring at our house, barking at 2 a.m. And I could take the bait and allow the anger to be justified, because debate is evidence, juicy evidence to justify the sensation. So waking up to a dog barking right at our house, this did happen. So loud, just right at us. A lot of evidence, right? Oh my gosh, why is he letting his dog bark at our house? Oh, I was so deep asleep. Now I'm upset. Oh, I'm irritated. What the heck? Could take the bait, or could simply be super grateful that something within me is coming up to be seen and to be witnessed. This is the true meaning of bringing darkness to light. It's so funny to see all of these, the spiritual community which I grew up in, and what I was for many years, hunting the darkness as like this dark thing. It's almost like I'm going in to like slaughter my demons and have you, it's almost like a status thing. How many demons have you slayed? It's like, oh, I've been to the depths of my darkness and I've slayed my demons and I am so comfortable with my darkness. And it's almost like this like fantasy thing of what darkness is. But really, what bringing the darkness to light or the unconscious to conscious is moments like that. A dog barking at the house, 2 a.m. The sensations that arise, that is what is unconscious. Those sensations right there. It's a pause in time. Pause. Am I going to take the juicy bait and allow my unconscious waters to continue to remain? Or am I going to welcome them up to the surface so I can witness what wants to be seen so it can actually transmute? So it's a pause. It's a welcoming all the stories, if stories are strong, or just the sensation under. Like, I welcome all of it. I welcome the part of me that wants to be angry, the part of me that's feeling the sensation. Ooh, the sensation in my chest. I welcome it. And just simply breathe into it and look at it and look at it and look at it. Just watch it. That from the light of awareness. Now, the key is non-judgmental awareness. Non-judgmental awareness, meaning you're not judging it, because if you're judging it, you're still making it real. You're simply wanting to observe it. Practice with small things. See what shifts in one's experience in your life when that happens. When something from the depths is looked upon from the light, and the light is neutral. We tend to give these labels. Light is good, dark is bad, but all we're doing here is bringing stuff into the light so it can be reinterpreted to truth. None of it's good, bad, right, or wrong. Now that seems confusing, because it's like, wouldn't truth be right and illusion be wrong? And it's not. There's no right and wrong. We're just simply reminding ourselves of truth. And in order to do that, to come back to peace within our experience, freedom, the knowing that we are so completely provided for in every way possible, the experience of being surrendered into a cloud in every moment, that's what it feels like for me when I'm surrendered into this space, it lies in allowing ourselves to bring the darkness to light, bring the unconscious to awareness, to simply be looked upon with non-judgmental, loving awareness. And we can take the loving part out, because people associate love with the human definition of love, which isn't love at all. It's like, you're my special relationship. And because you're my special relationship, here are all the rules and stipulations we're putting upon this sensation that we ignite in each other. I've been listening to A Course in Miracles with Keith. And holy shit, he says, we have an unconscious agreement that we're giving each other our drugs, and you give me my drugs so I can feel good and I'll give you yours. But as soon as one of us stops giving the other the drugs, then I'm not okay with that. It's not okay. I want a different relationship. And that's it. It's like, as long as you feed me the frequency and the sensation that I want, then I love you and we can be in a relationship. But as soon as you stop acting to me the way that I need you to act, then oh shit, I'm going to start thinking this isn't right and I need to run. And then we label love, like reserve that word for I love you. I finally said it. Oh, like it means this big thing. Oh, I love you. Oh, but I just like them. But I love you. It's like love is what we are. And so to describe it in these terms of an expression towards specific things is inaccurate. Unconditional love is the truth of the being that we are in unity. That essence flows through us when we are surrendered into that space. When we are open to that space, we become extensions of love to the whole, to everyone in the field. And when something arises within that wants to generate the opposite, generate contraction or revenge or anger or being shut down or creating an experience of not wanting to be open, not wanting to share that love with our moment, whoever, whatever's in the moment, then that's our opportunity to bring the unconscious conscious. That's an opportunity to pause, to have the commitment to not blame the environment and point the finger out no matter what it is, and to allow those sensations to be witnessed. Ooh, yay, an opportunity. Let me sit down here, close my eyes. Ooh, sensation in my chest, sensation in my belly. I welcome you up. Yes, you are welcome here. Oh, I allow myself to feel this. Oof. All the stories, I allow myself to witness all of it. It's all welcome. Ooh, I see the part of me that wants to change it. You're welcome too. Ooh, I see the part of me that thinks this is bullshit. You're welcome too. What if we welcomed every part and just looked at it and breathed? What happens is it all begins to alchemize so that anything that is stored in the field that keeps the operating system of separation, of fear, of individual self running, it begins to simply fall away through the light of our awareness, the light of our non-judgmental awareness. Ram Dass, I used to always hear these recordings of him. I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. Where he would just repeat over and over again, I am loving awareness.
I am loving awareness.
Again and again and again. And that is what we're talking about here, remembering that we are that loving awareness. And again, if be authentic when you check within. If there is a distorted idea of love, then maybe just work with I am awareness for now. Because again, like I said, the majority of beings have a distorted template of love. Like, it is not conditional. Love isn't this, oh, I'm infatuated. I can't be without this person. Every cell of me is a magnet to this being. That's not the love that we think. Love is an extension, an openness, a surrenderance, a service, authentic, joyful service to the moment. Enjoy. Authentic joy is not what we think, like happiness. Happiness can be detrimental. Do I really want to go here? Should I delete this part? Happiness could be detrimental. I'm just saying, now this is a ladder on the rung, a rung on the ladder. Is it called a rung? Anyways, it's a ring. It's a step on the ladder up to truth. And sometimes crucial steps upon the ladder is finding happiness, chasing that authentic happiness. So just take this where you're at, okay? Find what makes you happy, follow that. Find what makes you happy, follow that. Authentic joy is a sensation and an experience, a state of being that's beyond the fleeting happiness. Happiness is like the opposite end of the spectrum of sadness. And a lot of people chase and ping pong one emotion to the next. We label a whole set of emotions and experiences as bad and wrong, and then this whole other set as good. Don't choose that. Choose happiness. Don't choose, sadness or depression. Choose joy. But authentic joy of being aligned with that pillar of peace within and knowing that you are on the path that's for you. The wellspring of joy that comes in is a contentment, a peace, an inner bliss that is not swayed by the moment and is also not swayed by emotion. It's a state of being that welcomes and allows the fleeting emotions of sadness, of anger, of happiness, of excitement. It doesn't become those fleeting states of being. It is a whole operating system that's anchored in which all the experiences are welcome to arise from. Now, to the mind, that's a mind fuck. It's like, what does that even mean? And until last year, I never even knew what authentic joy and authentic peace was. I felt like in states of prolonged happiness for a while, but man, it was like, it would be fleeting though. And the opposite would come in a lot. And then I would do the whole, okay, how do I generate this? And how can I generate happiness for myself? And how can I go do something that I like that makes me happy? It's an endless pursuit. Surrendering to the life that's for me and allowing everything to arise and getting more and more quiet and still and listening to authentic guidance from within and following that versus what my mind was creating, thinking that that was guidance, is creating an experience of alignment with that pillar of peace. I'm allowing myself to come back to that pillar of peace within, to the truth within, the truth of my being. And within that, when I am in that and surrendered into that, the joy, the peace, the contentment is unwavering, is untouchable. I could walk through the fire and not be burned. And I do quite often. Obviously, I'm not meaning literally, but I do believe, if we want to dive into Jesus, he saw through the illusion so fully, that's a being who could walk through the fire, literal fire. Same with Joel Goldsmith, same with freaking Herb Finch, same with I could go on and on. Ramana Maharshi. I mean, these are beings who remembered the truth of their nature so much that the illusion could not touch them. I am not at that level. I am just working. We're all at that level. We are all at that level, except we have so many layers and layers of belief that we're not. So walking ourselves back home gently, slowly, little by little, Holy Spirit as our guide. And the Holy Spirit can be applied to any lineage that you believe in. You know, any lineage. Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, Buddha, in the Indian, this is going to sound ignorant, in the Indian lineage, and I'm just like really blanking right now what it's called. It's not Hinduism, is it? Anyways, there's a lot of deities, you know, it's like whatever you want to use as a placeholder for that energy and that essence of truth, you can use that. Just don't get stuck there. Don't get snagged on believing it's this thing. You know, it's, I think it's a, it's, it can be a powerful step in the ladder to have something for the mind or have something for the being to visualize, interpret, and bring in when speaking of God and speaking of unity with God. So a lot of people use Jesus Christ, and a lot of people use Krishna or Hanuman or Kuan Yin or any of these beings because they are just an example of that energy. Because if we just think of God in itself, it can be very vast and elusive for someone who's remembering. So whatever that is for you, beautiful, just don't get snagged. Or do get snagged, you know, whatever, it's your own path. Don't listen to me. Who am I to say do and don't? Scratch that shit. It's just beneficial to notice if one is getting snagged. And sometimes it's someone's path to get snagged. I have had my fair share of snags, and I'm sure I have more up ahead. Deep breath with me, if you'd like. So, non-judgmental awareness. This is an invitation to practice it throughout your day. No matter what the moment brings, no matter how juicy the evidence to believe it's that moment, it's that thing that's creating that sensation in you, apply sitting down, breathing and welcoming and allowing all of it to the non-judgmental awareness that you are. The unconditionally loving awareness you are. That's a whole other practice in itself to begin tapping into. Because like I said, you know, the condition of love is not actually love. But it's so beautiful because the more we do this, the more we remember the truth and the peace of our being. And we see through this illusion that we've believed in so fully with every cell of us. And then we get to remember that the truth of my being is the truth of your being. Back to the ladder analogy. Of course, as we're uncertain, I keep wanting to say rungs on the ladder. I'm going to have to Google this afterwards. As we're walking up certain steps on the ladder, the truth of my being is not going to be the truth of your being because we're identified with illusions of separate selves. And my truth can be unity, and Jesus Christ's word is so powerful. Blind man, open your eyes and see. And yours could be like, no way, I'm totally into like Krishna, or I'm totally into the Tao. But as we walk higher and higher, we see, oh shit, all these paths are pointing to the same place. And then when we get to the full remembrance of our being, we're like, oh my God, I am you. Like, holy shit, we are literally one. But wherever one is at on their journey, the beautiful part is we are all home. We're all there at the finish line, already healed, already home, already resting in our divine eternal presence. We already made it. We're at the end of the race. We just believe that we aren't. So there's rungs on the ladder. Yes. Oh my gosh. I keep saying that. But no, at the same time. It's whatever we need to do to walk ourselves home to the place we've never left. We're like walking on a hamster wheel, but it seems we're walking freaking all over the place. We've traveled lifetimes, but really, oh shit, I've just been walking on a hamster wheel. Dang, what a trip. So patience as we move through this infinite moment that seems so long for the mind that believes in time. But is really just that. Patience, allowance, feel it all. In a society that teaches us to run from sensation, oh, you're having this thing, here's this pill. Oh, now it's giving you that reaction, here's this pill. Anything not to feel, oh, you're feeling bored, go out there and do something fun. Oh, you're feeling sad, go do something to make you happy. Oh, you're feeling lonely? Go out there and find a person to feel loved, to share your life with. Oh, you're feeling da 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 da. Like, why don't we have a drink? Oh, you're feeling really like bored with life? Why don't we go do something that brings excitement? All of that is fleeting. We're chasing sensation because we're running from what's arising when the healing is in welcoming all of it. Oh shit, I'm feeling like I want to run from this moment and go create distraction. Okay, I'm going to sit for a minute and breathe. Sensation, I welcome you. Ooh, stories, I welcome you. Ooh, pointing the finger out. Ooh, I welcome all of you, yes. Ooh, I'm just going to breathe here into this. Can I welcome all of it? You are all welcome here. Ooh, looks like it feels like I need to scream. Can I welcome that? Can I allow? Can I allow myself to cry, scream, whatever it is, breathe and feel and welcome and see what begins to transmute. That peace, that happiness, that contentment, that safety, that security, that love, anything that we seek to create external is right here, just waiting for us to go within to remember it. It's right here. We can't actually get it out there. The security we chase by jobs that makes us feel this sense of security because we get a paycheck, we're paying our bills, that's not actually the true sensation of security. The sensation of safety when we lock our doors and we buy a firearm or we make sure our car's locked or we buy insurance for things or we buy, I don't know, protection on our flight or all the things that generate a sensation that we label safety is not actually that, is not the true sensation. And we keep seeking more and more of it, but it will never be enough. Love that we seek externally is never that true sensation that we seek. It's not even that, oh, I'm going to go find love. That sensation that we're trying to fill of loneliness. I feel lonely. I just want someone to spend my life with. I just want this thing. You are seeking an illusion of something external to fill within. When it's within, it's within. Within is asking you to go within. The within spaces. But so many of us run. Oh, I'm going to create this new experience. I'm going to move to this place. Oh, I'm going to do this now. Oh, now I'm going to do this. Oh, I had this realization. Now I'm going to do this. You are running. Stop running. Please come home or don't. Because the thing is, you can do this as long as you want. As long as you want. You get to choose when you give it all up and surrender and just go within. And realize that everything that has been sought externally is literally right here. And it's beyond anything the external could have even generated for a second. True joy is like, think of your happiest moment of your life, times that by 100. True peace, think of the moment some illusion of the environment gave you peace. Low, laying on the bed with some candles. Or laying in the bath with some candles and some incense and some music. I feel so peaceful. That's not true peace. Anything that's fleeting, that's changing, is not the eternal nature of our being. And when one taps into that true, authentic peace, it's like, oh shit. How could I ever want anything but this? This blows what I thought was peace out of the water. This joy that it brings blows what I thought was happiness out of the water. Then you realize my happiness doesn't rely on anything outside of me or the environment. I can feel this state of joy washing the dishes, taking the trash out, like freaking whatever. It doesn't matter what the moment brings up because it's my state of being. I'm aligned with my truth. I'm home. Oh my gosh, I'm home. That's what we're all seeking. We're seeking just the alignment with the truth of our being, which is where we rest in unity with God and each other. And when we are in that space, nothing in the external, quote unquote external, can replicate that sensation and that experience. Nothing. And when we are aligned with that truth, nothing, no thing can touch us. Because we are now, we have now returned to the operating system that is the truth of our nature. Jesus was such a freaking epic example of a being who embodied the Christ mind, the unity consciousness, the place that the Tao points to, all these lineages, the Buddha field, it's the one mind, the unity, the truth. Jesus showed us that death wasn't real, that sickness wasn't real. He would walk up to the blind man who had been blind his whole life and say, open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see, bro. The man who's like, can't walk, pick up your bed and walk. He's like, what? Pick up your bed and walk, bro. Get up, yo. You are not this. Come on, remember the operating system of your truth. Let's go. Joel Goldsmith, I freaking love him, man. He wasn't, I guess 100 years ago now. Wow. And he remembered the truth to where he wouldn't even see for a second anyone being sick. He would go within to the still pillar of peace within, that calm space internally within all of us. And he would just say, I have no idea what this is, and reinterpret it for me. He'd surrender over the mind of separate self that tries to figure things out on its own. What is this? What do I do? How do I do this? He would surrender all of that to the one mind in which he was an extension of, and allow that one mind to come through and reinterpret the moment. And if people really wanted to be healed, they'd be healed instantaneously. Instantaneously. There's a lot of practitioners today, Christian Science, and branches off of that, because people get too into the rules of it. It's like, don't get snagged. Find, thanks Elizabeth, if you're listening, that it has been clutch, the snag metaphor. Follow what is, and this is was her teaching that has never left me. Elizabeth, this beautiful woman that I met on travels, like divinely aligned when I surrendered my flow and said, where should I go? I ran into this person who is so dear to my heart now, who has actually come here and stayed nearby and visited us at our home. And just, I'm going to interview her one day for the podcast, because dang, she's like an ex-scientist who spliced like DNA, crazy, brilliant mind, and her realizations and her awakening, so profound. So anyways, just don't get snagged, or do whatever you want. Just plug in the awareness of, oh, am I getting snagged here? If we start making an identity of something, okay, here are these truths. Oh, this is my identity now. Now this, and oh, here are this rules, and can't do that. It's like, no, just like continue to surrender over more and more, and allow truth to move you, to guide you, to flow you. Surrender into your own being. You will begin to dissolve the you that is like this identity that needs to be fortified and validated and seen. You begin to become this just extension of the moment, and you get to be surprised at what shows up. Who drops in your field to love, to support, the abundance that showers upon you in all realms. You get to be surprised when you give up the one that feels it needs to figure it out, organize, plan, project. How am I going to keep myself safe? And now everyone operates in that, of course. Like, we're programmed with that since birth, that you need to figure it out. You need to go out there. You need to make the money. You need to do all these things. Be the best. Work hard. Whatever. The sensations that arise when one starts shifting out of that operating system, deep, profound fear. we can take the evidence. Well, my fear is because how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this thing? Can you allow it all? Okay, I'm going to welcome this fear. Okay, I'm just going to welcome these stories. Hi, fear, I welcome you. Hi, I welcome you. Breathing, witnessing, welcoming, allowing all of it with a deeper prayer of knowing in your heart that as you surrender to the divine will of God, of oneness, of unity, of whatever that image is for you, of the truth of what you are, your highest self, whatever it is, that you will be so provided for. You'll see that you've always been provided for. You just overlaid your own feeling of striving, working hard, exhausting self to get what would have dropped in a different way. The thing is, if one is ready to surrender to the truth of their being, to the guidance within, to the unified field, it's surrendering over any judgments, any attachments, which again arises in the moment. Can we witness the attachment and the judgment and surrender that over by allowing it, welcoming it, viewing it? Because as soon as, like, say we, okay, I feel myself guided on this path and I just feel I have a deep knowing I need to quit my job. I'm so afraid, but this deep knowing, I know God's going to provide. And then you quit your job, you follow it, and then you're like, I know I'm going to be provided, I know. And then, oh shit, my bill's coming up, but okay, I don't know, like, I just trust. And then say you're past due. Then you lose trust and lose faith. Oh, see, it wasn't paid on time, and what am I going to do? They're going to shut off my electricity. And it's like, those are the crucial moments. Can we still anchor in trust when it's not turning out how we feel it should or attached to it working out? When you pause and go within for guidance, okay, what is my next step here? There's a million avenues. It's like maybe you call a different company, or maybe you call a family member for support, or maybe you... maybe there's an aid program nearby that you can ask for assistance. Now, this is a challenging one because you can be like, okay, what? So everyone just quit their job and go on assistance? It's like, no, but I'm just saying, like, you don't know what will open up from the conversations you're meant to have. Because that's the main fear I hear with people. I can't follow that path because I won't have enough money for this, or I won't have enough money for that. But you will. You'll have enough money for what is meant for you. What if it takes losing a house and moving someplace else? Maybe that house was never really what God would have had for you anyways. You're just attached to it because it gave you a sense of security and a sense of validation. What if the exact requirement for following this path is a deconstruction of the walls that have been built around? Can we have such a sense of security and surrenderance within that we allow that dismantling for something else to arise? And maybe the guidance is go work at this other place. Even if there's a part of us that's like, oh, I don't want to forever, but we have that knowing of like, but I know this is my next step. Can we trust it enough to follow that next step and go to that next job? Knowing that we're surrendering over what we feel is our will to allow something greater to guide through. But it's tricky because we have to get comfortable with that pillar of peace within that I've been talking about. Because from that space, direct guidance arises. Now, until then, you can pray that the next step that is for you will show up in a way that is undeniable for you. Undeniable. Please allow my next steps to be undeniable so that there's no questioning what is for me as I'm learning and remembering the true operating system within, true guidance within. Let it be undeniable. Then if it's not undeniable, then don't follow until it is. Let your prayer be your mile marker, your path, your compass. That's the word I was looking for. Now, if it doesn't mean like, so undeniable can arise and then the fear can come in. Like, oh, but And it's being honest with ourselves in that moment, like, no, this doesn't leave any room for questioning. This is my undeniable guidance. Undeniable. Doesn't mean fear won't still try to come in, but that's okay. You can allow it. Okay, fear, I allow you to be seen. I allow you to be felt, to be breathed into. You are welcome here. You are welcome here. And I also want to say, you know, I've heard many people say, so what, I'm just going to like not do anything and just sit around all day and everything will be handed to me and the abundance will just drop in. And it's not that at all. It's letting go of the operating system where you are the one who has to figure everything out for yourself to I am divinely provided for and I am going to be entrusting the guidance within and trusting this other operating system that I know has me, where I just listen and follow, listen and follow, listen and follow. A lot of people don't want to because it's giving up in a persona or an image that one is attached to that they created. Because the life that's really for someone may not be what has been generated. And the fear that comes along with that, it can be intense. But that's okay. As long as we can welcome it little by little, this is a gentle path home. So it's not just laying around and letting it drop in. It's following the steps. Pray, listen, follow. We get to a state where we are living in prayer. We're just living in that direct communion with God. That energy flows through us in every moment, guides us, leads us, orchestrates through us. But until then, it's a communion. And pray, listen, follow. Is this for me? Let it be undeniable. Is this the step I take? Let it be undeniable. Because we're learning to trust. And also, if we know something's not fully for us, we feel it. But it's not, we don't have clear guidance of how to shift out of it yet. It's not a burning down of everything. It's a gentle unraveling. So allowing the steps to lay out in front of us, witnessing the shift. I have something that I've been wanting to unravel in my life for like years now. And it's still unraveling more and more in front of my eyes. And there's more that I'm learning along the way. More that I'm transmuting within myself. So many stored illusions within a fear of separation that are getting to come up through this mirroring, which is beneficial for everyone involved. And now as I'm at this stage of allowing and one step at a time, it's just happening on its own without me having to do anything. And I'm just witnessing the natural happening of it. So when we don't take control, when we surrender, we get to witness it all unfolding through us in a way that's for the best and highest of everyone involved, which is ultimately our own mind, but through the fragments of others. Well, I forget everything I said, but the moral of the podcast is allowing. Allowing all sensation, all story, all feeling to come up and to be witnessed, to be seen, to be felt, to be welcomed with non-judgmental awareness. And then watch how everything changes. Everything. You're annoyed with your partner. You think it should be ending. They're da 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 da. Witness, allow it every time it comes up, every time evidence wants to be grabbed onto, and even if it is grabbed onto, welcome it all. The stories, the feelings, the sensations, the emotions, feel them through all of them, just from non-judgmental awareness. And then trust that the steps will reveal. And they reveal in a calm, collected way. Once that the healing has occurred through the illusion of the moment in the situation, once everything that interaction, relationship, whatever was meant to bring forth, once it's complete and healed, it's a calm unfolding of like a deep inner undeniable knowing of like, okay, this is complete now. Now this is my next step. Thank you for partnering with me during this time period for our remembrance. And now I'm moving forward on the path. It's a deep knowing. And there's clarity that's had within that, peaceful clarity. So if something's not unfolding in the timeline that you think it should, I'm speaking to myself here, okay? All my podcasts, I'm literally just speaking to myself. Even though I say you. Who is you? Who is me? You know what I mean? Anyways, if it's not unfolding in the timeline that one thinks that it should, can we allow that? Oh, I welcome the part of me that feels like it should be right now, or that feels like it should be da-da-da, or that feels like she needs to figure it out, how to get out of it, do this thing, change the experience. I'm going to mention Keith again. I love how Keith says, can we allow it all to be there and not try to change any of it? Not try to change anything on the screen of life, any of the characters, any of the script, any of the situation. Can we allow and welcome and witness all of it? All of it. And from that light of awareness, the undercurrents transmute. More peace shines through. More surrenderance to life, and more like just divine providence, and more contentment that is just like, no matter what the moment brings, I am resting in the eternal peace, the eternal essence of my being. And I am an extension of unconditional love to all. Woo, yeah. And then when fear, hate, or anger arises, oh, you're welcome. You're welcome here. Fuck yeah, you're welcome. Get on up here. Let me see you. Let me feel you through. Let me feel all of it. Not running from any of it. Not trying to change any of it. Not trying to change the screen. Just literally welcoming it and viewing it and breathing into it. I'm learning this. I'm remembering this. And I'm grateful for this podcast space to allow me to be my own therapist. It's like I'm just talking at nothing for however long. And it feels supportive. Okay. Here's to welcoming, allowing all of it. Thanks for listening.